If you love human design, manifestation, and meditation, listen up. Join me for my unique manifestation meditation signature training for any yoga and meditation teacher, self-improvement coach, or human design guide who wants to create a new unique offering for their students and for the student who wants to deepen their own practice. This is a self-paced online training. You can do it at your leisure so you have time to implement each training into your life, or you can do it in a weekend. This training includes using your unique human design to manifest effortlessly. This is the key to manifesting easily in your life. The power of meditation and how it can change you and your students' lives. How to manifest anything you desire with ease and grace. You also get a bonus business workshop. So I teach you how to stand out as an expert in this emerging new market and be one of the first to do so. You also get a bonus content of my Intro to Human Design online workshop, where you will learn more about your specific energy type, strategy, and authority. This will help you to manifest more easily by being in alignment. You also get 5 hours of continuing education with the Yoga Alliance. For a very limited time, you can get access to my bonus Intro to Human Design online workshop and save money off of the training. This is the time to capitalize on this. This is seriously an incredible deal for you to get both the training and the workshop. You can use code EARLYBIRD50 to get $50 off until March 3rd, 2023. You can use the link in the show notes to enroll and learn the power of human design, manifestation, and meditation. Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. And boy, oh boy, do we have a podcast episode that I am so excited for you to listen to. I thoroughly enjoyed recording this podcast episode, and it was all about green beauty. So if you've been following along on my journey for a while, you know I am obsessed with clean and green beauty and skincare products. So this was a fun podcast episode for me to record. Today on the podcast, I am joined by Maria Velvey. Maria is a passionate certified makeup artist and green beauty expert who believes what you put on your skin should leave you looking and feeling like you, only better. Described as an educator and an artist by her clients, Maria loves teaching what she preaches and inspiring women to take their beauty into their own hands. She is the founder of Green Beauty Curator, a service and product-based business which helps women transition to cleaner beauty products without the overwhelm. Maria teaches her clients how to choose green, clean products that work but won't break the bank. She also loves teaching makeup tips and tricks that can help boost confidence while supporting clean, female-owned Canadian beauty brands through her online shop. On this episode, we talk about the difference between green beauty and clean beauty, ingredients to avoid in your beauty products, and top brands she recommends for makeup, skincare, and hair. We also discuss her top product recommendations for dry and dehydrated skin, acne-prone and oily skin, pregnancy skin, mature skin, and so much more. If you love anything to do with beauty, you are going to absolutely love today's podcast episode. With that, please welcome Maria Velvey to the Balance Your Life podcast. Welcome to the show. We are kicking off today's podcast episode with a giveaway. Who doesn't love getting free stuff? especially when it's free, clean beauty products. Who doesn't want to win that? All you have to do is leave a 5-star rating and review of the show on iTunes or Spotify. Then you'll take a screenshot of your review and send me a DM with it or email me it. You will be entered into the giveaway and I will randomly select one winner. If you have already left a rating review, you can still enter by sending me that screenshot. There's a limited amount of products, so make sure that you get onto this as soon as possible. Good luck! Welcome to the show, Maria. I am so excited to have you on.
Thank you so much, Megan. I'm so excited to be here.
We were just talking before I hit record about how you got into this space, and I wanted to hit record so that we had a background of people being able to understand why you got into this space. But for just the audience, I would love if you could give a quick bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining me from today.
Yes, of course. So my name is Maria. I'm a makeup artist and also a green beauty expert, and I'm based in Toronto, Canada.
I love it so much. So a makeup artist, and I know you're the founder of Green Beauty Curator and all that stuff. And, you know, before we hit record, you were saying you were doing like theatrical almost makeup in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. What led you on this path of switching everything to green beauty? Because it's such a big topic now. And I think a lot more people are starting to understand why it's so important that we switch to clean beauty.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, as someone who has spent 20 years of their lives in and out of the beauty world and also in education, you know, for me, of course, I was trained for film, special effects, theater, and I've done, you know, the spa and I've done the short films and I taught the children special effects makeup in South Korea. And the world I lived in when it came to beauty and makeup was not the world I'm living in today. And I know we were just chatting about that. And it for me, it wasn't until I became a mom with my second boy, who's now almost 8. He turns 8 in March. And, you know, having him be my second and being like, yeah, like, I got this. Like, I know what I'm doing. This is not my first kid. He's my second kid. Yes. And this little guy was born with such severe sensitivities to his skin, right from the get-go. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do about this. None of us have sensitive skin. I don't have eczema. Neither does my husband. Neither does my first one. And it was really, you know, by kind of looking through things on how to help him, I really didn't know what to do. His skin was so inflamed. And you know how the babies have those little chubby rolls? You know, it was red inside that, and his face and his scalp and just everything. And I took him to Sick Kids Hospital here in Toronto, and I had a senior dermatologist. You could tell this man has been doing this, you know, forever. And he said to me, you need to cover your baby from head to toe in Vaseline. And I don't know what it was, Megan, no disrespect to this, you know, skin professional that was standing in front of me, but just my stomach just turned. I had such a strong reaction to what he was saying to me. And I was like, okay, that's it. I need to understand why he's recommending this. And is there another way? My son was prescribed the hydrocortisone, and then I was told to do Vaseline, and I just became obsessed. This thing just took over my life on finding out why he's saying to me, use Vaseline, to understand it better. What is this recommendation he's giving me? And then is there a way to do it like in a different way? At the time, I didn't even know that Vaseline is just comes out of the oil industry, right? It's a petrochemical. So then I found that out and I'm like, oh my God, this guy is telling me to lather my child in Vaseline. And it kind of just snowballed from there. The more I read, the more obsessed I became in how I could take care of him in a way that it wasn't Vaseline, right? So looking to all the alternatives, looking at all the, you know, the information that was out there and just trying to understand it so I could do better for him.
There's so many questions I want to ask you, but when you brought up the Vaseline, I don't know if you've noticed on TikTok this trend of like slugging the face with Vaseline. And the moment I saw it, I was like, why are we telling people to do this? Is the most horrific thing we could be telling people to do. And so many beauty influencers were talking about it. And I'm like, I can't believe we're promoting this. This is just like the, I mean, it's not the, it's one of the worst things I think we can do because, it's like, it's Vaseline, it's a pore clogger, it's petrochemicals. It's like, it's just, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know that much about it, but initially when I saw it, I was like, this feels so wrong. And then I looked into it and I was like, oh, this is way, way wrong.
Yeah. And you know, you shared with me just before we got on that you have dry skin. So you would be the perfect candidate for Vaseline, as was my son. So the reasons behind it is that Vaseline is an occlusive. An occlusive is something that you apply on the skin and it kind of seals the skin and hydration. Like, so the moisture that your skin has is sealed in. And, you know, Vaseline, yes, is cheap. It's been around for a long time, but in the end, we're still supporting the, you know, petroleum, the oil industry by using these types of products. And I know it's like triple cleansed and this and that and purified, blah, blah, blah. It still comes from it. It's a petrochemical. So that's one thing. So there could be a lot of different reasons here on the things that I say why you might choose not to use it. Like, that's one. The other thing too is like, it's 2023. We have so many alternatives. There's no reason to use Vaseline. So for me, what I did when I found out what it was, and yes, okay, now I get it. You want me to completely cover him from head to toe in Vaseline to trap that moisture into his skin because he has severely dry skin, eczema, you know, irritation, like all of that. But shea butter does the same thing. So why would I not use shea butter, you know, which is a natural product? And why would I use Vaseline? The other thing that was of concern to me is that if I create this barrier onto his skin and I kind of trap, can you hear the vocabulary I'm using? When it comes to your face, okay, this is like a little, like, was it like a chubby baby that I'm doing this on? Little, like, just like lather him up. Okay, great. But it's like, if you're kind of creating this coating, this seal onto his skin, so you don't have anything escape, are you not also prohibiting things from entering? So for him to absorb other nutrients on his skin, like let's say, I wanted to slather him in olive oil, or I wanted to, you know, to do some other alternatives. Like it didn't really make sense to me to kind of treat his skin like that, you know?
I would love to even back right up and talk about like how toxic can our skincare and makeup be? Because I think it's something that clean beauty just seems like for some people, it's like, it's a trend work. It's this expensive stuff. You don't really need it. You can get everything, but you can get by with drugstore brands. And, you know, I mean, it was a great discovery. And at the same time, it's been like, oh my, it's been very overwhelming, but I discovered the Think Dirty app and I would run my stuff through it. And it was like, there are so many carcinogens and hormonal disruptors. And, you know, I know in Canada, we're a little bit more lucky in the sense we have a little bit more regulation and compared to the USA, but I don't think people really realize how toxic certain conventional brands can be.
Yeah. And I think also being our proximity to the USA, we also share a lot of brands. Like, we're not doing it as well as Europe. We're not doing it as well as Japan. There's ingredients that have been banned in this, on that side of the world that, you know, we're using a lot of American brands. So most of the brands that we're using are American. And that's why for me, I made it a mission to only carry Canadian brands on my site. Right. So we have other ways to support Canadian product makers and get to know their stuff. In terms of, you know, the industry kind of flipping, I mean, like, why wouldn't they? They see now that people are interested in this on this cleaner side. They're like, okay, so we can all make money from this. Do you need to buy, like, I don't know, $100 serum? You don't, but it's the beauty industry and people still want to buy the big brand name. And it was the same with the conventional industry People still want to buy, I don't know, the Yves Saint Laurent, or they still want to buy Chanel. And, you know, from stuff that I've looked into, all that money is going to marketing. Like that serum or the night cream, Lancome, all of that, it's like $120, $150 for a moisturizer. $5 will go into the ingredients. So do you really, but it's really up to you. I think as women, we want that sense of luxury. And unfortunately for us to have that, a lot of it is this brand name that's been around forever, that has this insane reach worldwide. And, you know, whoever's behind the brand, the money goes there. It doesn't go into the ingredients, or it goes into the fancy jar that you're going to hold in your hands and feel elevated, or, you know, like, oh, I'm using, I don't know, Charlotte Tilbury. Well, it's talc. Do you need to use a powder that's Charlotte Tilbury? You're going to go pay, I don't know, $550 or something like that. It's talc. Like, you know, you don't, I think it's just our misconception that something that is a high-end brand name is better.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is exactly clean beauty for anybody who is like, I've heard the term, yeah. I kind of get it, but like, does it mean it's all natural? Does it mean it's just like, it doesn't have certain chemicals in it? Like for somebody who's like, I don't even really understand what it means. Can you explain like what it means a little bit more?
For sure. Because there's so much like similar terminology flying around. And it's like, well, what's the difference? You know, like what's the difference? Clean beauty, green beauty, natural, organic. Like there's so many different terms. And the way I've explained it in the past is that for a clean beauty product. So a lot of people now are like, yeah, we're a clean beauty brand, you know, clean at Sephora, you know, for example, they have their own standard of what is not in it. So the focus here for when it comes to the product or the brand is what's not in it, not what's in it. It's a very fine play on the words, not what's in it, what's not in it. And really as a consumer, you should be asking yourself, well, what's in it? Then you have the green brands and more like clean or not clean, green and natural. The focus there is what's in it. It's such a fine tuning of those words. But when you say what's in it and it's a green brand, the focus here is on natural, like coming from nature, from the earth. There's like plant butters, plant oils, that type of thing. So with clean beauty, you know, the focus of why they focus on what's not in it is because they focus on the ingredients that they remove to tell you, hey, like we're not using petroleum derived ingredients. We're not using parabens and we're not using this and that, which, you know, could be harmful to you, your health, your skin. So, but when you think about the ingredients that are not in it, shouldn't your question be like, well, what did you put in it then? Because when you've removed those things, something has to replace them. And then the green brands, it's like, well, we don't use synthetic, like, I don't know, like lab made, or, you know, not that that's bad, but that's their focus. They're calling themselves a green brand, natural brand. The focus is on what they put in it, which will be focused around, you know, kind of green plant ingredients.
It makes so much sense. It was funny because I actually heard a doctor relating to like health food, and he was talking about gluten-free. Like everybody's like, I need gluten-free. And he's like, that's fine. It's perfect. But you have to ask yourself, what are they replacing in as an ingredient to make it gluten-free? Like sometimes it's totally legit, and other times it's like, no, it's gluten-free, but we've added in all these other things to counteract.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with the preservatives. Like parabens have been around for a very, very, very long time. That means they have been excessively studied. They removed the parabens from a lot of things because everybody now is just freaking out about the parabens. And I think in the end, it has to be kind of like a personal choice, you know, like I'm not going to, you know, vilify any ingredients today, but I've seen horrific things happen to people's skin because they removed the paraben. And now, I don't know, the dish soap or the laundry soap has something else, because the paraben is a preservative. So what are you going to use as a preservative now? So they're using these new ingredients as preservatives that I've seen from personal experience to someone close to me, like a rash, like head to toe, and couldn't pinpoint it because you're like, but I'm using a clean dish soap, right? I'm using a clean laundry soap. And it took so long for this individual to pinpoint, you know, what it was until they had allergy testing. And then it's like, it's this thing. Where is it in your house? And it was the dish soap and the laundry soap. And, you know, and that's why the rash wasn't ever going away, because it's like, we do the dishes daily. We do the laundry on a regular. So just as an example.
Is there anything that we should be looking for? If someone's like, okay, like I'm going to start switching to more green beauty.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't even know where to start. Like you were saying about, you know, the clean line at Sephora, a lot of people are like, perfect. They've taken the guesswork out of things for me. I can just shop all the clean mm-hmm. products at Sephora. And, you know, maybe they're removing certain things from it, which is fantastic, but we also don't necessarily know what's in it. So is there like
ways
that you think we can figure it out? Or someone's like, I just want to be able to go somewhere and find clean beauty without doing all this research, because I don't know what any of this means anyways. And I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, for sure. So, and I think like Sephora, I mean, look, it's this like massive beauty body, right, out there. And they won't know, be able to include all these brands, right, to kind of say, yeah, we have a section for this, but they still carry all the other stuff. I mean, that's smart. This is just business, right? They're going to, of course, have a section. Everyone has done it now. You know, my supermarket added an organic aisle. They didn't have that before. Right. So we are going in that direction and consumers want this. So, of course, it's smart for them to say clean at Sephora, little check mark. And again, but they have their own criteria. Like I think, and I'm pretty sure, I'm like 95% sure, there's still fragrance in those. Like that's not one of the things. And it's not like they're eliminating it. They're just choosing brands that don't have those ingredients. But I still think, for example, that fragrance is one of them that, like they still include the brands that use a synthetic fragrance. So how clean is a really big question. And I think that's when it comes down to, you know, personal choices for me, because I always like to keep things, I don't know, attainable for people and not confusing. Like fragrance would be the number one thing to remove. You do not need it. You do not need it in anything. It doesn't add anything to your cosmetics. And fragrance or perfume is such a massive umbrella term that you could have like 300 perfume ingredients. Like, how do you know what's in there? And because it's protected by law, you can never find out what's hidden under that little term that you see fragrance. That's not one ingredient that you see on your, I don't know, powder. I've seen it in mascara. Why would there be fragrance in mascara? And a lot of these fragrance ingredients are added to mask the scent of other things they put in there, right? Like, are you smelling your lashes? No, you're not. So I think as a consumer, you're going to pick up the jar and you're going to look, does it have fragrance, perfume fragrance? And I would start there.
What about essential oils when it comes to it? Because I'm the most boring person mm-hmm. when it comes to things. Like my dish soap is unscented. My laundry soap is unscented.
Yeah.
I remember being somewhere and a girl actually joked to me. She was like, oh, you're not a very exciting type of scent person, are you? And I was like, no, I just don't know what's in it. So it's like, it's unscented everything. But
yeah,
you know, that now there's this, like, people are like, well, we're adding essential oils. And I've always been under the impression of like, you know, you don't necessarily know what it's doing to the skin or ingesting it, how it reacts for certain people. Like, are we putting in a lot of essential oils? Is it a little bit? Like,
yeah,
I find that for me personally, like a fine line of like, I don't know, is if I don't see fragrance on a product, but I do see essential oils, is that
right?
Okay. Or is that equally kind of concerning?
So, you know, so for you, for sure, it's personal as well. If you don't want like scent, and scent, now I'm going to talk about scent, just like essential oil or synthetic. Some people are scent people. You know, you walk into their house, they have those plugins or the thing diffusing or whatever, right? And it's just, it's such a strong sense. It transports you, it creates an experience. And, you know, this is the reason why people like it, right? But definitely there are so many studies that have been done into that. Those would be your prime hormone disruptors, right? There's so many studies that go into the synthetic fragrances. You can go check David Suzuki's website. You could go check, you know, other sources. But I think with the essential oils as well, again, it's going to be personal. And, you know, if you are someone who is pregnant or sensitive, you got to know what's in there. What is a contraindication for pregnancy? I worked in a spa. Our massage therapists never used essential oils when we had a pregnant client come in. It's a contraindication. You can go online and very quickly Google it for pregnancy, which essential oils to avoid. So, you know, if you are pregnant, I would start there. If you are sensitive, I've had clients who are allergic to flowers. So that means no chamomile, no lavender, right? So we have to just be really conscious of the fact that essential oils, maybe that oil is not bad for me, but it could be bad for you. So, you know, they do create a nice experience. Like if you buy an unscented dish soap, you could, you know, go to the health food store and buy a little bottle of lemon or orange essential oil and add it to your dish soap. At least you know what you're putting in there. I make my own like window spray, right? Or all-purpose cleaner. And I have essential oils and I kind of just rotate through them. I put essential oils on my dryer balls because we don't use dryer sheets. So that type of thing, right? Because I, of course, they do smell amazing and they do transport you and they create a beautiful experience. And I think that is what's so big about using a green brand. That scent actually has aromatherapy benefits, right? And that's why the experience, you know, using a synthetic fragrance cream versus something that's more natural with essential oils, you're going to know the difference because of how it makes you feel. So I definitely think they are an amazing an amazing thing to use, but it has to be right for you. And if you prefer this unscented, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because using a regular laundry soap and having your clothing smell 2 weeks later, you gotta wonder what it is that makes it linger like that. Right. And that's when the phthalates come in, and phthalates are hormone disruptors. So, there are so many alternatives out there, and I think people are more educated now. People know what they want, and people know a thing or two. But in the end, it has to be the right choice for you and your family and your household.
No, I couldn't agree more with you about that. And something about when people have those like plugins, if I go into a room, it's been like exasperated since I've been pregnant. But like, it's like, no, please turn, like, put that away. I made my poor mother-in-law, when we went there over Christmas, she didn't even have candles lit. She just had them in her house. And I was like, those got to go into a different room that I'm not part of because they weren't lit. And I was like, oh my God, it's so overwhelming.
They're so overpowering. And so many people now do candles a lot better. Like I know for my store, I vet everything I bring in terms of ingredients and also the brands I want to work with. There's people behind those brands. Like, you know, I want to support what they're doing. They have to be like, you know, are they like good people to collaborate with? Are they, what is their vision for what they're creating? A lot of people are creating candles now. And I know I had someone who creates these beautiful candles out of Quebec, and it's a soy-based candle, but it's also, it's synthetically fragranced. And on their label, it said phthalate-free fragrance. Well, it's like, how do you know it's phthalate free? Like, how do you know that, right? So for me, before I brought them in, it's like, I want to see the certification, right? Before that I'm going to carry them. I want to see it with my own eyes. What makes your fragrance phthalate free versus all the other candles, you know, that you could pick up at any store? And they emailed it through.
Perfect. Yeah. No, I do appreciate the brands that are really trying to, you know, do a lot better because of their own personal reasons or because they're like, hey, we know that the people want this. So
yes,
on that topic, I would love to know if you could even, we'll get a little bit more micro into different categories, but mm-hmm. you know, maybe even your top favorite Canadian brands when it comes to, let's say, skincare, hair makeup. Care, and maybe even makeup. Yeah.
Very good question. So I'll start with makeup. There's a couple of different brands that I work with, and I put them in my kit. I do all my services, photo shoots, events with that type of makeup. And I would say the first one is Pure Anada that comes out of Manitoba. And they are, they have everything. They have everything. You want to do skincare through them, makeup. I do their makeup. And I've been working with them for a very long time. And they are a wonderful company. They're wonderful people. And their stuff is really nice. So even coming from a professional standpoint, I had heard so many negative things about mineral makeup. Oh, it doesn't work. Oh, there is no pigment. You know, I used to work for Makeup Forever. That is all about pigment. So I get it. I understood what they said. But when I reached out to Pure Anada and they sent me some samples to try, I was just like, who is giving this bad rep to the mineral makeup? The pigment is amazing. And, you know, for me, I'm using it in a professional fashion. But for women who want to apply makeup, it's a fantastic brand and amazing prices. Okay. So that's one. I also have another brand, which I love their lipsticks. And that's also out of Manitoba. They're called Tin Feather. I love their lipsticks. I use them, you know, in my kit. They're beautiful hydrating creams. Lots of made with plant oils and plant butters, very nourishing. And they are flat, meaning matte, but not drying, because matte sometimes gives us the, you know, the kind of like the idea that it could be drying for makeup. And then for brows and lashes and all that, I use Plume Science, which is out of Alberta. And they've done a phenomenal, job. I use like their brow pomade. They have a lash growth mascara, eyeliner, all that stuff. So it's like eyes and brows for them. And I carry that brand. And then for skincare, my goodness, again, my shop goes from BC to Quebec when it comes to all my brands. I haven't reached the East Coast, Megan, so you might have to send me some local suggestions.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple in, you know, what's a surprising place is New Brunswick seems to have a lot of skincare and makeup companies coming out of it. That's been like, oh, okay. This is like fun.
Yeah, I love it. We'll have to keep it in touch on that. So I, you know, and again, I know that female consumers are so different with what they like, the textures they like, the smells they like. So of course, everything I bring in is not synthetically scented, essential oils, of course. And also, you know, natural ingredients have their own smell, right? They do. Like shea butter has its own smell, right? So I have a small organic brand that's out of BC, and I've been working with her since 2017, 2018. I launched my e-commerce and it's called Helena Lane. And it's fabulous, completely like no preservatives. She does things in such small batches and also with really short ingredient lists. Because when you flip over the packaging and you see like 40 ingredients, you're like, oh my God, like at some point you're going to stop scrolling through and you're not going to be even looking at what's in there. But she does things very, very small, like four or five ingredients, even in her moisturizers, no water at all. So for anyone listening, this is a bit of education for you. If you see water in your ingredient, the first thing you're looking at is what is it preserved with? So for her, she doesn't use water. So she doesn't need a preservative. They're just pure butters for the face. She does beautiful mists. So that's one out of BC's, Helena Lane. And then I have some Ontario brands and Quebec brands. So Graydon Skincare out of Toronto. She's amazing. I've watched her grow in the past 5 years. She's doing wonderful things. Same with, Etymology that comes out of Quebec. There's a lot of really nice brands out there. But again, it has to be right for you. Like the texture has to be right for you. So for example, if you're, you know, choosing someone like Yelena Lane, your skin has to be dry. Like Megan, you would be the perfect candidate because her stuff is so rich and you need a small amount. But if you, you know, if you are acne prone, if you prefer like a lighter formulation, something lighter on your skin, that again, that's personal preference, that then you would have to go for a brand that kind of caters to that, that has the lighter, almost like a gel cream. And different textures are attractive to different people, right? So then you would go for someone like Graydon, right? Or Cocoon Apothecary that comes out of Kitchener, Ontario. They've been around since 2006, when no one even probably knew what organic and natural was. So these guys have been making products for a very long time, and they just recently became Cosmos Organic certified and got into the Bay. So there's so many Canadian brands doing beautiful things, you know.
No, I love that so much. And it's, I can totally appreciate different brands are kind of known for like, this brand is really great for drying skin or mature skin.
Right.
But one of the ones I wanted to talk about too with you, because I feel like you're the perfect person, is skincare and makeup. I feel like we have a little bit more variety when it comes to green beauty, but hair care is one of those things that I did a poll a little while ago asking what people use for like a clean shampoo and conditioner. And like, people were like, honestly, I just use the toxic shit because I don't even know what a good clean skin or hair care is because I've used one. It doesn't do anything. Or I actually don't even know one that even exists for some people. So is there any like hair brands that you recommend?
Definitely. Yes. So full transparency. I know a few different Canadian hair care brands. But as a professional in the beauty industry and someone who has an e-commerce, the line I wanted to choose to bring in had to have everything. Okay. And I know that makes me sound picky, but let me explain. What I mean is, like, look at my hair. My hair is curly, right? I have clients who have thinning hair. I have clients with colored hair. I have clients who need all the curly things, like the texturizing cream, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? The spray, the gel, you know? Come on. We need all those things. So when I looked in Canada, I couldn't find that brand. So the only American brand I carry on my website is InnerSense. And InnerSense comes out of California, but they have it all. They have the salt spray. You know what I'm saying? They have the deep hydrating mask. They have the detox mask. They have the texturizing cream, color shampoo, color conditioner, you know, shampoo and conditioner for really thick, coarse hair. So I wanted to just have, I didn't want to mess around and be like, okay, so I'm going to have like 10 brands for hair. I wanted one brand that's clean. This brand was created by two professional hairstylists who decided to create their own line when they had children with high sensitivities, kind of like my son, and they would go home just smelling from the hair salon. It was on their clothes, their hair, like, and their children, you know, reacted. So it is a professional line, and I was looking for something like that. Now, do my kids use InnerSense? No. It's nicer brand that I keep for myself, okay? Especially, you know, their gel for my curls and stuff like that. So for my children, there is Quebec brand called Oneka. So O-N-E-K-A. And they have wonderful shampoos and conditioners. And that's what's next to our tub for everybody to use, right? Like, that's the other thing too. I don't like clutter. I don't want to have, you know, okay, fine. I have my own shampoo and conditioner, but we can't have everyone in the family doing that. You know, and sometimes I alternate. It's good sometimes to alternate. You put one shampoo aside, jump into something else. Your hair will, you know, will bounce up nicely, and it gets used to, you know, you using the same product. So I would probably say, yeah, like those two brands are the best for us. And you know, Onika also has really beautiful soap, you know, shower gel. They do it, of course, unscented. They do the citrus, they do the lavender. So a little bit of everything. And my kids now, you know, the oldest one that, you know, showers by himself, like, yeah, they love it. They have it now, they have an opinion about that too, right? They're going to be the only little boys in their class that have like opinions about all these products. But yeah, so those are the brands that I have chosen to use. Onika, I know, depending on where you live, is also refillable, which is fantastic. And it can work for a lot of hair types, you know, if you have a family and you want to keep it simple. And then, you know, if you want something a little bit more professional, you could go to something like InnerSense and choose like, you know, your styling products. I feel like those have to perform. Or maybe you choose like a deep hydrating mask to use once a week. Maybe it doesn't have to be everything. So lots of choices there. I don't carry Onika, but I do carry InnerSense.
Yeah, amazing. No, I was scoping that out before we, and I was like, oh, I've heard of this brand. So I was you know, doing my research on it. But yeah, hair care was one of those things where everyone's like, if you find one that works, let me know, because all I know is like drugstore stuff. And I mean, yeah. I went to my parents over the holidays, and my mom, all she had was like, she was very proud of herself, but she had like the sulfate-free Pantene. And I gotta say, I don't use that stuff at home, but after I was like, oh my God, my hair feels like, I know it's the silicones, but it feels amazing. Yes.
Totally. Yeah. And again, Megan, back to the fragrance.
Yeah.
Back to the fragrance, back to the synthetic fragrance, because when you haven't used that stuff in a while and you put it on, you're like the whole shower, it's overwhelming, right? So, you know, if I could give you one recommendation, one thing to start looking out for and removing would be synthetic fragrance. And my other tip would be, you know, if a product says unscented on it, please flip it over and read the ingredients. You'll be shocked to know that I did this with a, you know, a bar of Dove soap I was buying some years back. So Dove soap, yeah, bar soap, it says unscented on the front. And then you flip it over and you look at the ingredients and right there, fragrance. Mm-hmm. And it's shocking to know that a lot of the fragrance ingredients are still added in, and they like, what they do is they kind of block your brain from sensing fragrance. So it actually has fragrance, but you're not smelling it. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mind-blowing when you start to like learn some of the things to look out for and you flip it on the back. Like I remember getting a sample of, I think it was like La Roche-Posay, and it's a European brand, it's supposed to be good. And I think it was literally like the fifth ingredient, it was mineral oil. And I was like, isn't this a French company? Like, why are we using this in a bomb?
Again, petrochemical. Petrochemical. Yeah. Like, can you not use something else? Choose avocado, coconut. I don't know. We have so many different oils. Just use something else. But it's cheap. The stuff that comes out of the petrochemical, the petrochemicals out of the petroleum industry, it's cheap. That's what it is. You know, and yeah, you just really have to be diligent with that. You need to look on your own. Like, I couldn't give you just one solution right now that would help you with everything. But that positioning that you mentioned, where is the ingredient on the list? You need to pay attention to that. The fragrance usually is at the very bottom. So it will be easy for you to find. Okay. Look at the top. Okay. Water. Okay. Look at the bottom. What's the preservative? Because it has water. What is their fragrance? But then other things. So let's say this cream that you're using has on the front, like made with avocado oil. And you flip it over and you're like, where is the avocado oil?
You're
looking at it and you're like, oh my goodness, it's at the bottom. So they've added like two drops of avocado oil, and then they put it on the top, on the front of the box for marketing purposes.
The higher up
on the list, the bigger the percentage.
Yeah, I know. It's like the whole industry, it's, to me, it's amazing that it's like, you know, that there's some person up there who's put like, yeah, it's fine. And you're like, you have to know that what you're doing is not ethical. It may not be rule breaking or like directly causing anybody cancers, but you have to know that it's not ethical to be greenwashing these products.
It's so hard, Megan. This is like a multi-million dollar industry, right? Yeah. So that's the thing. You gotta, you know, pay attention and like, who are the people who are, you know, preaching this stuff, or the brands who are really trying? And, you know, a lot of these brands are like smaller and like family owned. For example, like Onika, they grow, they have their own essential oils. They have their own farm. You know what I'm saying? So we really have to pay attention where our dollars go. You're going to pay with your dollars in the end. It's like you're voting. You're voting for this, you know, the brands. And for me, when I chose to do all kinds of the end, it's like I can tell you who the owners are of all these brands. So Candace in BC, and then like Lauren in Alberta, and then like, you know, like I, you know, Candace, Helena in BC, Candace in Manitoba, you know, Kirsten in Manitoba, like Graydon, her name is Graydon. She's a real person. I've met her. You know, that is important to me as a female and someone in the beauty industry. This is who I want to support. I could have anybody in my shop, but I choose to support them.
Yeah. I would love if you could give, you don't have to give like all the products, but you know, if someone is struggling with, let's say what we could do, like a dry skin,
yes,
an acne prone, mature, and maybe we'll do like a pregnancy, like are there certain products or brands that you're like, definitely go to this one over here?
Definitely. Okay, so let's talk about dry and dehydrated, because it's winter and we live in Canada, unfortunately not the Bahamas. If we were living in the Bahamas, Megan, you and I would be having a completely different conversation. But we live in Canada and it's dry and it's cold for most of the year. So if you have dry skin, you've always had dry skin. It doesn't change in the summer, in the spring. It doesn't change. You were probably born with less oil glands than, you know, the rest of us. And you will always have dry skin, dry, flaky, you know, skin that you cannot get it to feel better with just anything. Okay. Dehydrated. That's me. That's most people in Canada. And, you know, we always talk about hydration and water, drink water, drink water. Your skin also needs topical hydration. So if you're dehydrated, it changes with the seasons. Does that make sense? So it you might feel okay in the summer, but then the fall, that transition into winter, you're like, oh my goodness, what's happening? Okay. The heat is on. That affects people. Most of us are inside the house for a long time. And then we go outside and it's freezing. So if you have dry skin, you need fat. So I'm going to make it very simple. You need a nice oil, like a facial oil. You need like one of those moisturizers from Helena Lane. They're richer, fatty stuff, okay? Because your skin is not producing that. So that would not be my recommendation, obviously, for someone who has oily. And, you know, if you have dry skin, you need to have something richer. And if you're someone who has dry skin and acne, because it happens, that means you're super sensitive, reactive. Your skin is dry, but you're not giving it anything in fear that it's going to make your acne worse, right? So I would say an oil. And not oil, all oils are created equal. Like you can, you know, if you do have a little bit of acne, you could, you know, you could choose a lighter oil. You could go for something like argan or jojoba, which is very similar to our kind of, you know, oil, skin oil that we produce. And if you have, you know, more mature skin and you're definitely dry, but don't have breakouts, you could do rosehip, right? You could do that. There's so many options out there. And just be very gentle with how you cleanse and quit stripping your skin like two times a day. Wash once a day, only at night, and then nourish your skin with a bit of oil if you're not already doing that. So that's dry. For dehydrated, you need water. So you need hydration. If you're dehydrated, buy like three mists and put them everywhere around the house, next to your water bottles that should also be planted around the house, right? So you could be drinking and misting, all right? So you need more water on your skin. That's where the hyaluronic acid and those kind of more watery serums come in, and the mist, okay? Over makeup, under makeup, you can mist at any point. And just bring more hydration to your skin and then apply a moisturizer to kind of like lock it all in, all right? This hyaluronic serum, it will do nothing for you if it's minus 10 outside. Right? So you need to have that little layer on top, finish with your moisturizer, lock it all in. So that's dry and dehydrated. For acne-prone skin, stop attacking it. Stop being like, okay, I'm going to get you. Try to calm it down. Stop being aggressive with it. Stop using aggressive things. Do not scrub. Do not exfoliate. Do not do any of those things. And just be very gentle and keep it simple. So you need a gentle cleanser, again, once a day. A gentle cleanser that's not going to dry it out even more. I find a lot of times people with acne skin have really sensitive skin. It's just, it's calling to you. Hello, I'm not happy. I don't like it, what you're doing to me. So try to calm it down, soothe it, gentle cleanser. You know, ingredients like silver, for example, I carry a brand that's just from outside of Toronto. One of their very first products was a clarifying cream. It's a treatment that has silver in it, like micro silver. So there's ingredients that have been used, like, you know, since antiquity, like silver for antibacterial, microbial purposes. So there are, like, you know, like little treatments and stuff like that you can use, but stop bombarding it with everything else. Stay away from synthetic fragrance. Don't scrub it. Don't do anything. That just like spreads everything and makes it angrier and more irritated. And so acne, we did dry, dehydrated.
Oily. Maybe we could do, yeah. And maybe even pregnancy and mature.
Yeah. So for oily, I've had, you know, women in their 60s with oily skin. And for me, I'm always like, why is that? And of course, it's a little bit strange because when we get past 35 or 40, our skin kind of slows down and stops producing all those things. Like you need to have, your skin produces oil. It's an organ. That's its job. Its job is to moisturize your skin. And if you're not going to do that yourself, it's just going to produce more oil because you're not giving it any. So it's just going to make its own. And it's always very interesting to me because it's like, why is your skin doing that? Why is it like overproducing oil? And I know it sounds so, so strange, but when I've put those people onto oil cleansing or an oil serum, they will message me back. Oh my goodness. Like, my skin is so much better. It's not as oily. Right? You see, you're now nourishing it and it's like, oh, I'm just going to slow down and take it easy. I don't have to produce any of that now because you're moisturizing it properly. If you're going to starve your skin, well, it's taking matters into its own hands. So for oily, like again, don't starve it. Just you need to give it, you know, some moisture somehow, a little bit, even if it's at night. Again, stop over cleansing it once a day, not in the morning. You don't need soap in the morning. Just splash water on your face when you're in the shower. And then just find, you know, a moisturizer that has a little bit of something, a little nourishment, and an oil that's not going to feel heavy for you. Like I mentioned before, jojoba based, something like that. And start doing a few drops, pressing it into your skin. And I guarantee you that it's going to really stop producing all that oil. And for pregnancy, I would say it's safer to just stay with the unscented stuff. If you are, you know, pregnant, you can use the skincare that you're using unless you're noticing changes to your skin. Like, so let's say pregnancy is making you break out. So then you're going to need to bring in a little bit of treatment for those areas. Even like a little roller, you know, in my shop, Cocoon Apothecary makes a little, you know, roller for, you know, to kind of like zap breakouts. So you have to kind of just see how the pregnancy, you know, what it does to your skin, I guess. Right. And just take care of yourself because when the little one comes, there's going to be less time for all of that. Do all the baths, take care of yourself, go get a facial, do all that nice stuff for you, for yourself now. Okay. And for mature, it would be very similar to dry. I've actually just recently created some bundles in my shop to just make it super easy for everyone. So for me, I'm in my mid 40s and I've created some skin bundles to take care of the issues that we have as we get into perimenopause and menopause. And, you know, a lot of what we talked about now, dry, dehydrated, acne prone, sensitive, overreactive skin or reactive skin, all of those are still happening when we are in our mid-40s and then going into menopause, like in our 50s, let's say. So I've created the bundles that are specifically for those concerns. There's a bundle for hormonal breakouts, for dry, for, you know, mature, but also for with mature skin, we're also dealing with like sun damage, stuff like that. This is when you'll start seeing it on your skin. So it comes out now because it's in the deeper layers of the skin. So if you didn't use SPF when you were 20, now you're going to start seeing the sunspots. So those are some other concerns that people, you know, might have, especially with the sun damage as we get older. Yeah. So with mature skin, it just depends on what you're suffering with. And it also depends on your lifestyle. Like, are you a smoker? You might have a completely different skin issues, you know, like, you know, or are you someone who has never worn sunscreen on their face, you know? Or are you someone who, when those hormones start going up and down, and they do in puberty and they do when we're pregnant, this is not the first time. It's just, it's another stage that this might happen. Then you might be dealing with acne, you know, in your mid to late 40s, early 50s, which would be hormonal and usually, you know, around your jaw, around the mouth area and jaw.
Yeah. I would actually love, I want to be mindful of your time, but I wanted to, you brought up something that I was like, oh, I should ask about this, is the idea of like chemical versus physical sunscreen. And I've always been, this was actually brought up from my husband. And you know, when we were first starting dating, you know, I was very like, got to do the sunscreen. There's a lot of skin cancer in my family. And I remember him saying, oh, like, I don't do the chemical stuff because there's something about putting it on your skin, being out in the sun and it heating up and then being absorbed, all those chemicals into your body. And I was like, oh, I never thought of that. But you hear a lot of dermatologists preaching it and like, you know, physical sunscreen isn't as powerful or all this. And I'm just curious what your thought is. And, you know, maybe you're like, no, what you're saying is like totally out of line. It's not going to happen. But in my head, I'm like, that makes sense. Like,
yeah. Okay. So listen, he wasn't far off. Okay. So he wasn't far off. So tell him I said that. So what happens is the reason it's called a chemical sunscreen, it's not because it has chemicals in it. Like everything is a chemical. Water is a chemical. Okay. So let's get that off, you know, from the beginning here, put that aside. So the reason it's called a chemical sunscreen is because the way that it protects you is through the chemical ingredients. So what happens, as he said, is that, you know, how everybody says, oh, you got to apply it 15 minutes, 20 minutes before you go out. You're exactly right. It has to be absorbed into your skin before it protects you from the inside out. Okay. So yes, it has to be absorbed. Of course, that's why we have to wait 15 minutes. So that's the chemical sunscreen. Okay. And that's like all the ingredients you hear about, the avobenzone, you know, the homosalate, all those things, right? And the other one, well, the mineral sunscreen is a physical sunblock. So chemical sunblock has to be absorbed. Those sunscreen ingredients have to be absorbed into your skin in order to protect you. The physical sunscreen, it doesn't have to be absorbed. It can just sit on the top and it's a physical barrier. The minute the rays hit, they just bounce off. They're reflected off. So they protect you in completely two different ways. Do they both work? Yes. Do you need to have either one of them on? Yes, you do. I don't care which one. Just put it on. Okay. Because you're going to start seeing the damage and stuff like that later in your life. You're going to get burnt and, you know, everything else. So photo aging, skin cancers, etc. So whatever your personal choice is, just put it on and put the right amount and reapply. Because I just put it on like, I don't know, like 5 hours ago. Yes, I'm wearing an SPF 95. Yeah, I don't need to reapply it. And it's like, no, I don't think so. Okay, so you have to reapply it and you have to use enough. Like I did a demo on a video of how much quarter of a teaspoon is, you know? So as women, you know, I've had all these questions coming to me. Oh, like my foundation has SPF. And I did this video of me applying quarter of a teaspoon of foundation just to show people how much it is. And it's ridiculous. I did like a reel and then I put it on YouTube. Like I was covered in foundation. And that's how much SPF you need. So if it's in your foundation, fantastic. Great for you. You're double protected, but you need to have that other SPF on first. A quarter of a teaspoon, enough. Don't forget your ears, a lot of ear cancers, right? Skin cancers on the ears. Get it on and then put your foundation on. And then, well, I mean, if you're out there, like, I'm sorry for that foundation, but you're going to have to reapply, right? So it's a little bit more complicated for women. Like everybody else, just put it on. And hour and a half, 2 hours, you need to be reapplying. And
perfect.
You know, if you just a little glimpse into the SPF, because I find that the people usually who go for a higher SPF are a little bit more lazy with reapplying. And that's why I made the joke earlier, like I'm wearing like an SPF 100. No, I'm sorry. Those are the people who are going to get burned. And the protection is so small. So just to give you an example, an SPF 30 filters out 97% of the sun rays, and an SPF 50 filters out 98. It's 1%. And if you go to like a higher SPF, like what is it going to be? 99? It doesn't make a difference. Just get a 30, get something you like and apply it. And then just don't forget to reapply.
Perfect. No, thank you so much for speaking all of that. I want to be mindful of your time, but before I send everybody to check you out, maybe to get one of your consultations, just to follow you online and all that good stuff, I wanted to ask, it does not have to be related to green beauty at all. It can be, but is there a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you incredible value in your life that you want to leave with the audience?
Oh my goodness. What a question. There are, you know, and you mentioned before the app, right? I think I want to tell people, like, if you're going to be using the app, like the EWG or Think Dirty, always be mindful that the way they make money is by selling you other products. Mm-hmm. Right. So just be mindful with that. I played around with those apps too, the environmental, you know, the environmental, oh my goodness.
Working what is group. It? Yeah.
Working group. Thank you, Megan.
Yeah. EWG. Yeah.
You know, like same thing. So, you know, if you're doing your own research and stuff like that, I mean, I always go to like government websites. I love reading, blogs and information that Healthline does. I was also featured on one of those on the benefits of avocado, but you know, they're doing things really well. They have so much information. I mean, you plug in any question like eczema, anything like that, healthline.com would be one of the higher ones that comes up. So I would just say, like, you know, pay attention to who's writing the pieces that you're reading. What is their expertise? What is their, you know, education position that makes them, someone to consult? So that would be one. And, you know, for books, the type of books that I like to read are like the ones that kind of give me, you know, like lots of ideas on how to do things more simply at home, or they teach me more about ingredients, stuff like that. So they are a little bit boring. Like I have a dictionary on cosmetic ingredients. Do not go.
No, I love
that.
It.
Do not go buy that. It's also because I come from an education background and a linguistics background. So I love that. And, you know, I think for the apps, yeah, I mean, they are really great when you look into it, but just be mindful as well that don't be upset at all your products because they're rating it badly. I have, you know, other friends who are, environmental engineers that have looked into it. It's like those numbers are not really based on a lot. So just be mindful with that, with what you're looking into. And podcast, there's one, I believe it's called Mindful. I forget the name now, like Mindful Green. You know, I'm not really a person who walks around listening to podcasts a lot. I do kind of go into them sometimes and do pay attention. But you know, like when I'm at home, I'm recording or creating content, and then the kids are home and there goes that. So yeah, what little time I have, I always try to put it into, like, you know, journaling or doing some yoga or meditation for myself. But yeah, there is one podcast, I believe it's called Mindfully Green, something like that. I'll have to check it out and confirm that with you, Megan. I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly the name.
That's okay. No, this has been such a great conversation. You've given us so much, so many good tips and so much of your knowledge. I appreciate it so much. If people want to check you out online, maybe follow you online, or maybe they want to order some of the products from your store, where can everybody go and find you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm at Green Beauty Curator. Same with Facebook, Green Beauty Curator. And the website is greenbeautycurator.ca. And yeah, I'm service-based and product-based. So if you need any help, like streamlining your products, you don't know what to get, like that can get expensive, you know, reach out to me. Or book a little session with me and we can jump on a Zoom call, which I always then provide the recording for, because it's nice to have it as a reference. And, you know, I can help you sort things out on there.
Perfect. Maria, yeah. Thank you so much for this conversation. This has been amazing.
Thank you so much, Megan. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you having me.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.